Are you afraid? Glass asked after a long moment of silence. Luke turned back to her and shook his head. No. He placed his finger under her chin and tilted it up, so that she was looking straight into his eyes. I'm never afraid when I'm with you. He leaned forward and kissed her softly. She shivered, his breath making her skin tingle. Glass pulled away with a smile. Isn't this a waste of oxygen? Just the opposite, Luke whispered, drawing her back. We're conserving it. His mouth found hers again, and she parted her lips as his kiss grew deeper. Glass ran her hand up his arm, smiling as he shivered. Without breaking away, she began to unbutton his shirt, telling herself that his unusually rapid heartbeat was a response to her touch. Her lips moved to his jaw, then trailed down his neck. She paused at his chest. There were numbers tattooed on his ribs. Two sets of dates that made Glass's stomach churn. What's wrong? Luke asked, sitting up. She lowered her finger toward the tattoo, then snatched it away, afraid to touch the ink. What's that? Oh, Luke frowned as he glanced down. I thought I told you. I wanted something to honor Carter. His voice grew distant. It's his birthday, and the day he was executed. Glass barely managed to suppress a shudder as she looked back at the second set of numbers. Glass didn't need a tattoo to remind herself of the day Carter had died. The date was branded as clearly in her mind as it was on Luke's skin. Glass groaned as she brought her knees up to her chest. The sheets on her cot were twisted and damp with sweat. She was desperate for a drink, but it'd be hours before they brought her dinner tray and her evening water allotment. She thought longingly of all the years she'd spent blissfully unaware that water was rationed elsewhere on the colony. There was a low beep, followed by footsteps. Glass winced as she lifted her throbbing head from the pillow and saw a figure in the door. It wasn't a guard. It was the Chancellor. Glass drew herself into a seated position and pushed a strand of damp hair away from her face. She braced for a flare of fury as she locked eyes with the man who'd ordered her arrest, but through the haze of pain and exhaustion, she didn't see the head of the council. All she saw was the concerned face of her best friend's father. Hello, Glass. He gestured toward the other side of the cot. May I? She nodded weakly. The Chancellor sighed as he sat down. I'm sorry about what happened. He looked more haggard than she'd ever seen him, worse even than when his wife was dying. I never wanted to see you get hurt. Without thinking, Glass brought her hand to her stomach. I'm not the one who was hurt. The Chancellor closed his eyes for a moment while he rubbed his temples. He never showed frustration or fatigue in public, but Glass recognized the expression from the few times she'd seen him working in his study at home. I hope you understand that I didn't have a choice. His voice grew firm. I swore an oath to uphold the laws of this colony. I don't have the luxury of turning a blind eye just because the criminal in question happens to be my son's best friend. I understand that you need to believe that, Glass said, her voice hollow. His face hardened.